Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for The Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. Our theme in February is love and romance. With Valentine's Day this weekend and romance in the air, it is often the time when more proposals are made for marriage and more people tie the knot. Last week, we covered five ways to save money on Valentine's Day, and if you missed it, you still have time to listen to an archived copy at www.blogtalkradio/moneysmartsforyou, and that's Money Smarts with the number 4 and the letter U. Or you can search iTunes under podcasts for Money Smarts for You. Again, number 4, letter U. This week, I'm covering the five things you need to know before you say, I do, including details about prenups, living together, and things to think about before you pop the question and get married. Next week, I'll go over planning a wedding you can afford, and later in the month, cover what's involved in buying your first home. If you've been dating anyone for more than a year and you think it's getting serious, be prepared for the topic of marriage to come up sooner or later. If this Valentine's Day is the one when you find a diamond ring instead of a cherry on the top of your whipped cream on your dessert cake, or if a small box wrapped in light blue paper tied in a white ribbon is left for you on your pillow, you know you'll have to make up your mind. Before you tie the knot, here are five things you need to know before you get engaged. Number one, disagreements over money is the number one cause for divorce. Learn to talk about money before you move in together and before you get married. If you can't talk about money before you tie the knot, you are doomed for failure afterward. Pay attention to how you each spend money. Do you both come from the same socioeconomic background? Does your partner think retailing, that is shopping and buying, is a great way to spend your leisure time? Are you the only one who pays cash for things while your partner is forever borrowing money from you? Are you afraid of debt while they are blithely swiping their plethora of credit cards in order to finance a lifestyle way beyond their means? Once you're engaged, there will be a lot of opportunities to learn more about your beloved's spending habits. Has she been led to believe that she's a princess and deserves the best wedding money can buy? Or has she learned how to discriminate and be selective about what matters to her and what isn't necessary? Next week, I'll talk about elegant weddings that can give each princess a beautiful send-off while staying within a spending plan. One of my favorite questions to ask people when I first meet them is, what would they do if they won the lottery? Most people have a set idea of how they would spend the money or divide it up or how they would handle it. I've learned who's self-centered, who wants to establish a charitable foundation, who just spends as they go through life without rhyme or reason for their decisions. Money passes from weak hands to strong hands. So if you have no plan and no ideas, then you might as well be holding onto a garden hose, watching the money flow out of it. If your future partner is not willing to talk about what kind of lifestyle you will have together, whether you will buy a home or rent all your lives, whether you will have children or not, what your and their personal goals are for careers, education, travels, or your life together, then be very careful. Couples need to share common goals, or eventually there's nothing to keep them together on the same page, working together on a life they build as one. Number two, prenuptial agreements are not just for the very rich. One reason I believe that all couples should consider drafting a prenup agreement is because it requires all parties to come clean about their financial situation. It may cause a ruckus for you to even bring up a prenup, since some people feel it sets the stage for divorce planning. But in truth, it gives couples a chance to be honest about the amount of student loan debt they have, income responsibilities, credit card and consumer debt, as well as revealing any retirement plans, investment accounts, real estate, or other assets they may own prior to marriage. Certainly, you can lay all your cards on the table without hiring lawyers to draft an agreement. but the formal agreement with the listing of assets and debts does protect you if your life together falls apart and you don't want to get stuck holding the bag of debts that weren't yours at the start of the marriage. You may be thinking, I love this person and I don't care how much debt they have. Well, that may be less talking and inexperience. You may want to wonder, why do they have so much debt? And do they have a plan for paying it off? Some people are in denial about the effect that debt has on their lives, or they may not want to think about a plan for paying it off because that is just not fun or too hard. So if you find that the person who you love and who says they love you has a mountain of debt, the first question you need to ask is, how do you plan to pay it off? If all of the debt is a result of education expenses in the form of a student loan issued by the United States Department of Education, then suggest enrollment in the Income-Based Repayment Program, or IBR. The IBR terms state that borrowers now are required to pay only 10% of their income per month towards their loan repayment for a maximum of 20 years. If the loan is repaid prior to 20 years, then their obligation is complete. If they have not been able to pay the loan off in 20 years, then the remainder of the loan is forgiven. But there are some tax consequences for the portion that is forgiven. Another feature of the IBR program is that after your beloved graduates, he or she works in public service jobs that are for the government or in the nonprofit world. Then after 10 years of work, his loan balance will be eliminated. There have been changes in the law both in 2007 and 2010, so you need to stay up to date with any changes by going to the website www.studentloans.gov. If the debt is a result of graduate work in an area with good earning potential, then look at it as an investment in your future as a couple. If it is private and your beloved has poor job prospects, then beware. If the debt is consumer debt or credit cards, then discuss breaking the debt down into small pieces and paying it off a little every week or every month, depending on your partner's income stream. Freeze use of the cards by literally putting them in a glass of water in the freezer where they cannot be impulsively used. Cut them up if freezing doesn't work. If your partner is resisting these techniques to eliminate consumer and credit card debt, know it will only get worse with time. If there is money owed to the IRS, make sure that it is paid off before you marry, or you could find yourself paying taxes for money you did not earn. If your soon-to-be spouse has child support or alimony obligations, are they up to date on those expenses, and do you know what they are? You may need to file taxes separately once you're married in order to avoid your income being considered when child support or alimony is set or changed. What is too much debt? Too much debt is debt that will hamper your ability to live together without all of your discretionary dollars going to pay off the debt. If there is that much debt, then it will hamper purchasing a home, buying a car, and any other activity that might be part of your dream for your married life. So don't go into your relationship blind to the financial problems your future spouse may have. You may also want to check each other's credit scores so you'll kind of know how responsible other people think about your own spending and credit management. In some states, prenuptial agreements must be signed and executed before wedding invitations are sent out to prospective guests. 3, before you move in together, draft an agreement that stipulates who pays for what expenses. Many people move in together before they get engaged or married in order to test the waters. As long as things go well, that works out fine for most couples. But in the event that you might have made the wrong choice, consider communicating clearly with your beloved about how you will handle expenses when you're living together. Talk about your expectations about money, your life together, friends, and family. A very simple contract can be drafted between the two of you where you can make two columns and under one list your expenses and then under the other list their expenses. And what I mean is like the expenses you're responsible for once you move in together. If you plan to divide everything from rent to utilities to food exactly in half, then stipulate that in your agreement. You may also want to discuss what furnishings belong to whom, the plates, glasses, mixing bowls, toaster, oven, anything that could be a point of contention if you go your way and he or she goes theirs. Be careful about buying anything that is expensive together. You can't saw a sofa in half or divide a new car between the two of you. You may require legal help if you insist on purchasing items together and then you later separate. These ideas may sound very legalistic, but they are really about learning how to talk about your things and your partner's things, about your money and your partner's money. Someday, no matter how wonderful you are to each other and no matter how much money you accumulate in your marriage, there will be a moment, an event, where one of you gets insecure or feels hurt about some slight. When that happens, clarity goes out the window and emotions take over, and without a framework of an agreement, problems can accelerate. Take the time to map out how you plan to handle things before you move in together or before you get married. If you've not lived together before marriage, then this is a good exercise for you to do too, because it will clarify who pays for what. You may find if you do get married that what you want to do is set up a joint account that everybody puts the same amount in, or that you each put the same amount in each month to cover your expenses so that you can still keep your money separate from your partner's money if that's important to each of you. 4, you marry your partner's family and friends. You may love your partner, but pay attention to the relationships with family and friends. Is she daddy's little girl who's expected to attend Sunday lunch every week? Is he a mama's boy who, whenever you have a disagreement, goes home to mom so she can tell him how awful you are? Are your family backgrounds different? How so? How are they similar? Can you see the danger zones? Can you live with them? Same thing with friends. Friends can do everything in their power to support your marriage or break it up. There are the friends who always want to go out for drinks and exclude your partner. Then there are the ones who drop in unannounced and expect to stay for dinner. These people are part of the package, so it will be good for you to have a strategy to set limits and boundaries on when and how that works for you and your marriage. Discuss this with your beloved before you marry. Find out how they feel about your family and friends, too. I found that the friends that don't want to be friends with your spouse, that still act like you're single, are the ones who will do what they can to trip you up and set you up to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Remember, those people are not your friends. They're self-centered narcissists who want things their way. 5, you can break the engagement up until the moment that you have to say, I do. Divorce is very expensive financially and very hard to live through emotionally. Take your time getting to know the person you plan to marry. Find out how they problem solve, how they plan to pay off debt, how they save money, if they do. Find out whether they respect you and your thoughts and opinions. Find out if they like your friends, and if not, why not? Meet their family and their friends under fun and not-so-fun circumstances. Clean out the garage together. Volunteer for a charity project together. Do they make the appointments they set with you? Are they on time, or do they make you wait and not call to let you know they're running behind? Is their home a mess, or is it neat as a pin? Are they well thought of at work, or do they seem to be just getting by? When you see the signs on the highway that tell you there's a bridge out ahead, make sure you pull off the highway. So when your gut tells you that something is not right with the person you're marrying, or with his family, or his or her lack of generosity of spirit, then listen to your gut. I cannot emphasize this enough. This is a really important thing to pay attention to. So what if the invitations are out? And so what if you already bought the dress or rented the tuxedo or bought the tux and that you've paid the deposit on the flowers? Depending on when you call up the wedding, it will be a whole lot cheaper than a divorce in 2 years, child support for 18 years, or alimony for 30 years. And the emotional pain, although it would be intense, will be something you will get over. So don't use the wedding plans as an excuse to marry someone who's not the one for you. Be picky. Know what imperfections you can live with and which ones you cannot stand. You already, deep in your heart, know what kind of person you're looking for. So be true to yourself and make the decision that gives you what you want and what you need. Don't get married because all your friends are doing it. Don't get married because he or she is the only one who asked. And don't get married because you don't want to be alone or you don't want to be old and alone. Most people end up old and alone. Not like you can plan when you're going to die. Look for someone who has your best interests at heart and who's willing to grow with you while working on your relationship for the rest of your lives. That person is out there. Keep looking rather than settle for second best. If you know someone that may be on the precipice of engagement or who is already engaged, you may want to forward them the link to this podcast because it could be a really good thing for them to listen to. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Next week, I will cover how to plan the wedding of your dreams that you can afford. And if you want more information on money before marriage, look at chapters 8 and 9 in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics, which is available on Amazon and online at other fine stores. Please email me your thoughts and questions to Barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com, and I will do my best to cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.